Hey, everybody. This week, Paul and I are going to tackle this whole conversation about flexibility in your premium. So a lot of people think, hey, whole life insurance premiums are very inflexible. I've got to make this exact payment every single year for the rest of my life. But we kind of we bust that myth, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, when we design policies for use in the infinite banking concept, we design them with premium it has to have, which is the base premium, but also a premium called the PUA or the paid-up additions rider premium. Both are premium, both contribute to death benefit, both contribute to cash value accumulation. But the PUA side of the premium is, like Dave said, it's flexible.
It's flexible. All right, everybody, enjoy. Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right, we're back. And there you are.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are great. I was saying, so this is, folks, you'll never see this or hear this, but this is take two because apparently I hit mute and was just blabbing to nothing. But yeah, we put Timmy's parents' boat in the water, the one they gifted to us last week. So that's...
I saw the pictures of that on Facebook.
Yeah. So that was a big accomplishment. We sailed it down here, backed it in, practiced backing it in because it's, you know, dual engine. You can spin it in a circle and it's... you know, it's going to take a little bit of a learning curve, but so that's done. Obviously, I'm still sitting in this 1,000 square foot place, but it's got air conditioning and heat and stuff and a stove, so we're okay. But it's
there you
just,
go.
So I am tired still, of being here.
You're still living as one of the top 10% in the entire world.
In the world. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so often we lose sight of that. Like even in that tiny little place with your family of four, you're still in the top 10%.
The poorest among us live better than the kings of old.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's the truth. But we're getting by, just getting antsy, you know, want to get the hell out of here and get into our house.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I am sure, man. Well, cool. And I'll be seeing you in a couple of days. So I guess when this airs, you'll just be a couple of days away from flying in here with Anthony and Carmella and... We head to South Dakota for our annual hunting trip.
Yep. Me, the kids, and three shotguns.
Yep.
And I got some new boots because they packed mine when I moved. So
really?
I have none of my stuff.
I've got some. Don't buy any new ones. I've got extra.
Oh, I already did. I bought some nice boots.
Okay.
They're really comfortable,
were just,
though.
You know, yeah. Military issue.
I'm going to, I don't think I have my orange vest. So I'll probably just pick up one of those cheap ones. Cabela's while we're up there and just wear that.
All right. So nice. Well, looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to talk today about something that I think we've both seen in conversations with clients, especially is they don't understand how flexible their premiums actually are. People who have been maybe doing this for a year and year two is coming up. I mean, shoot, there's some people who are probably on year three or four and don't really understand how flexible their premiums are. Because I have these conversations all the time when somebody says, hey, my annual premium's coming up. I don't have enough to pay the full premium. What do you recommend I do? So we're going to talk about that today. But you had a conversation recently that this person said something pretty insightful.
Yeah, I thought it was. This is a gentleman who's retired. Army colonel, he's got a convertible term policy with me and another buddy is one of my agents, and just chit-chatting. We were talking about rising prices and housing, and I was talking about how difficult it is going to be for our kids' generation to be homeowners. Mm-hmm. Right? The first generation in history where it's going to be the most difficult that's ever been.
Yeah, right.
Right? Due to all the money printing and interest rate manipulation, all that stuff. And we were talking about that. And then I was like, yeah, you know, my kids are going to, you know, reap the benefits of the IBC foundation that Tammy and I began in our generation. And they'll, you know, because of that, they're going to be far ahead of their peers. And he immediately quipped. He was like, Paul, they're not going to have any peers. It's going to, and he was like, they're going to be like running in a cross country race and they're the only people in the race. And I never heard it put like that. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to use that in the podcast. I like that. And it's true. Most people, most American families will not realize this because they weren't willing to maybe listen to a podcast or read a 92-page book and actually put some brain power against what is Nelson Nash really trying to tell us here?
Yeah.
He's trying to tell you that you finance everything you buy and that you can recapture interest, that you're otherwise bleeding to the banks. And anyway, I thought it was insightful and just a cool, I'd never heard anyone put it like that in hundreds of or thousands of hours of phone calls with people.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's great. And luckily, we have many clients whose children will also not have any peers. Because
yes,
they've got policies that started at a very young age. And their only peers will be other IBC people who are getting policies on their own kids.
Yep, just sitting around like, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Well,
so let's talk about how flexible your premiums actually are. So a lot of times the haters, the naysayers talk about whole life insurance. It's very expensive. You'll have to pay that premium until the day you die. There's no flexibility. If you stop paying, your policy is going to lapse. All this stuff, which is all kind of half-truths.
In a way,
right?
Yeah.
There's
no comparison, like except term insurance. Expensive compared to term as far as death benefit only.
Right. They're expensive. Not, yeah. Compared to what, you know, looking at things at just from just one angle.
Right.
But the way we design policies, and any infinite banking practitioner who designs whole life insurance policies is going to, as long as their client wants to accumulate and capitalize their policy and grow that cash value quicker than you otherwise could with a whole life mm-hmm. policy, they're going to add what's called paid up additions. PUA, right? And Nelson talks extensively about PUA and how that accelerates the cash value growth of your policy. So maybe we start off by talking about the definition of base premium and PUA premium, because they're two premiums that make up your total premium, but they're both what? They're both
premium.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of confusion about that.
Yeah, the lazy people say, they're out there saying, in our space, I mean the life insurance space, that base buys death benefit and PUA buys cash. And that's not what is occurring at all, actually.
Right.
The base premium is purchasing the initial face amount of the policy, whether it's a single pay whole life, which we don't use that, 10 pay, pay to 65, pay to 95, pay to 75, pay to 100, pay to 121, whatever it is, that base premium is paying that initial face amount of death benefit, the initial death benefit. That is premium, though, that if you do nothing else, that must be paid month after month or year after year if you're an annual payer, or twice per year if you're a semi-annual, whatever, quarterly, four times a year, that must be paid. Okay. That death benefit, that initial death benefit, that might be 20, 30, 40 times bigger, depending on your age, than the actual base premium itself, right? Those are, you're paying for that death benefit in increments.
Right.
Right. And eventually it's going to be paid for. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, paid in full.
I'll pause.
Right.
Paid in full. Yeah.
So that's
it's not paid
that's
up
just
until
it.
That point.
Yeah. So right. The base premium is, it's kind of like a mortgage, where you're going to make all these payments over time, and eventually you're going to own all the equity in your house. Well, this is the same with life insurance. You will own all the equity in that death benefit. Until right. then, should you die before that happens, you're going to get that total death benefit anyway, because you were paying towards it, even though you didn't own it all yet permanently, right. You know, and your ownership shows up in the form of equity, which is realized as cash value. That's what the cash value is. Just to reiterate, we talked about it many times before. Your cash value is simply how much of your death benefit you own today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple way to put it.
It's the equity. That's very simple. That's a great way to put it, Dave.
It's what you own and it's what you have access to, because you own
it. That's
right. Right. Now,
the ownership matters.
Yep. That's the true path to wealth is ownership. The other portion of the premium is paid up additions. And PUA doesn't buy cash value. PUA buys death benefit. It's called paid up additional insurance. You're basically paying for a little bit of insurance, but you paid it up. You own 100% of that insurance.
Correct.
And because you own 100% of it, it's reflected as equity, which reflects as cash value.
Cash value.
So it grows your cash value very quickly because you own it instantly. You have the equity instantly as opposed to over many years.
Yep. It's paid for. No other premiums will be accepted for that PUA premium. It's paid for. And I don't know if this is the right time to mention it. Do we want to talk about dividends while we're talking about PUA?
Why don't you mention it very, very quickly, because that's not the purpose of this. But sure. What do dividends do for us?
Yeah, so there's different dividend options, but how we use it in the IBC world, we use the annual dividend, which is not guaranteed, but very reliable. We use the dividend to buy paid up additional insurance. So that is another way that you're actually getting PUA premium into a policy, aside from out of your pocket and paying a PUA premium on a regular basis into your policy, or irregular basis, perhaps.
Yeah. And the power of that, it's even better than purchasing paid up additions out of your pocket, because that dividend, there's no fee charged to it. So if you have a $1,000 dividend, you're going to buy whatever that purchase is in death benefit, but that's going to add $1,000 to your cash value.
Yep. And it might add $2,000 to $3,000 or $4,000 of death benefit. Let's say,
yeah,
as an example.
Right. So it's going to buy a very small, relatively small amount of death benefit, but you own it 100%. So every dollar of that dividend gets added to your cash value.
Yeah.
If it's designed like that, which is how we design them.
Yep. And that is, at least on all the policies that I've written and all the different company software that I've used, the PUA, you know, paid up additional insurance option for the dividend is the default option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Generally.
Which is pretty cool. Like, insurance companies, hey, they're happy to accept more premium, but it just so happens that what's best for the insurance company is best for you in this case. That is the best way to utilize your dividend for the purposes of growing your policy, your policy's
Correct.
Values.
Yeah. Yep. For the purposes of IBC, it is the choice.
Yeah, absolutely. So now let's talk about the flexibility. The base premium has to be paid every single year until you own it 100%. And that's defined in the policy. It's maybe, like you said, a 10 pay, a 20 pay, or paid a 95 or paid a 100. Those are the typical kind of periods mm-hmm. where now you don't have to pay that base premium anymore. So yes, it's true. You do have to pay premium until the end of that, whatever that policy dictates. And in many cases, in the policies we write, it's 95 years old, 100 years old, so most people will be gone by then. They'll have graduated by that point.
Sure.
So in reality, you're paying for the rest of your life, that portion of the premium.
Correct.
Right. So what portion of the overall premium is the base, typically?
Yeah, it could be 40 to 50, 60%. I've got clients that have wanted 80% of their premium to be base and 20% to be paid up addition. So, you know, generally in between there, 40 to 60 though is probably our typical, depending on someone's situation.
Right. So if you average it out, maybe half of your total premium
sure.
is going to be base or is going to be needed to be paid up until pretty much the remainder of your life.
Yep.
So that means let's take, for example, we'll say you have a $20,000 annual premium. Just for the examples of this, using round numbers, 10,000 of that will be base, 10,000 will be paid up additions. That paid up additions portion though, that's your flex room. So there's many times when you might fall on hard times.
Sure. Right?
Almost like the future is unknown. So emergency is going to come up. Things are going to happen. You may lose a yep. job. You may lose one of the spouses loses an income, stays home for a couple of years. Whatever the case may be, you may have a reduction in income that may be difficult for you to then to fully fund your policy premium. That's where the flexibility comes in of this paid up additions, that does not need to be paid in order for your policy to continue. Yep. So think, I think of it as a floor and a ceiling, right? You've got your minimum and you got your maximum. You can do anything in between.
That's right. And there's even some companies that allow kind of a static PUA premium. Not all of them, but some of them have one that's, you know, you can pay maybe 25% above the illustrated PUA premium or 25% below it. And, you know, that's kind of like their floor, and then their ceiling is the 25% above it. Mm-hmm. So that's neat. But yeah, there's been many circumstances where we've fielded this question, and I remember I was like, it's always like, why didn't you call me 6 months ago? Like, we've, you know, in our process, we say, listen, you know, if you want to have regular, you should have regular contact with us. I'm not every day and every single question about life. Love to talk to you. But, you know, when it comes to this policy or series of policies, please do not, there are no dumb questions. Please ask, please reach out, please get on our calendar. And it was like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. And I was like, well, looking back at my notes, we discussed that in detail for an hour.
Well, not everybody remembers everything they ever hear
or read, like Paul does.
But so that's why we do the podcast, because all of this bears repeating. And that's why we repeat ourselves all the time on the podcast. Because the typical client situation that I've encountered is year two comes around. The client paid annually the first year, the full base and PUA, the full premium, because it's all premium, right? And year two comes around and they say, hey, Dave, I don't have the full amount to pay the full premium. I say, no problem. How much do you have right now? And then they tell me and I say, hey, that's enough to pay the minimum required base premium. You don't have to fund the PUA at the same time. And guess what? Now you have the rest of the year, the next 12 months to fund that PUA in whatever manner you want, whether you log in once a month and you say, I've got this much extra cash, boom, I'm going to make a payment towards the PUA. Or you go 6 months without making any of it, and then you get a bonus or a windfall and you pay all of it, however you want.
And then you further the conversation and you find out they have an isolated bank account they're going to build a deck or build a pool, and they're saving money in there while having outstanding loans or additional PUA to pay. And you say, take that money and put it in your PUA rider, please.
Yes, please. Just get that in there. Like, fund your PUA, repay your loans. You should never have money just idly sitting in a bank account outside of your policy that you don't need access. Like, you don't need it for 30 days, 40 days, a year. You don't need that. Put it back in your policy.
Yeah. And while we're on this topic, Dave, this came up this week with a policy that I just delivered. You know, client has a low level of understanding, hasn't put in enough work yet, but, you know, his wife has been a client for several years and we're getting there. We're working through it. And his premium's not big enough relative to his income. And, you know, there's nothing I can do about that. So he's like, well, it doesn't really make sense if I have cash sitting in a bank to take a policy loan, does it? I was like, no,
it doesn't.
That's because you have too much cash sitting in somebody else's bank. The idea is that your personal loan origination comes from your banking system, your policy. That's why this works. You're just kind of dipping your toe in to see, you know, why people are doing this or, you know, whatever. But yes, he's right. No, you wouldn't take a policy loan when you just have cash. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Taking loans doesn't enhance the growth of your policy.
Not at all. Because it's going to grow at the same rate whether you have loans outstanding or not. You're just going to be able, you're going to have a better overall financial picture if you first sequenced your capital through a policy before you give it away forever.
Right. Your capital should reside here. That is the whole point. And I know there's some of you listening know that, but there's some that aren't doing that. And it doesn't make any, they treat these as more like a reserve break glass fund. And maybe that's fine in their mind. I just say it's less than optimal.
Right.
To be fully
less than
optimal.
It's still better than not doing it, but it's
correct.
You could be optimizing.
No question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So we talked about how can I reduce my payments? And you can do that by just cutting out the PUA when you can't make that payment.
Right.
But what about paying more than what's illustrated in your premium. Now, here's where there may be some, like you said, some companies allow for the ability to fund more PUA. And if they do that, that just means the underwriting amount used is going to be greater and probably eat up more of your underwriting.
Yep.
And what that means for anybody who cares to know is you all have a finite amount of life insurance you can qualify for,
right?
Based on your age and your income. And if you go, you can't get any more than that from a reputable life insurance company. They just won't give you more than, you can't be overinsured.
Right.
So don't ever call me and have a conversation and say, I've got too much life and I'm overinsured. No, you're not. I can guarantee you're probably underinsured.
The USAA little financial tool told me that a few years ago.
That you were overinsured?
I don't know if it used that term, but it's like, you have too much insurance.
From an insurance company telling you have too much insurance. Wow, that's a little too honest. And that's being, I guess, it's actually not being honest because you can't have too much insurance.
It's right, it's incorrect.
Yeah, it's incorrect. That's funny. But here's what I tell everybody. Is regardless of what company your policy is with, every year, at some point during your policy year, call the company. Some of these, you'll be able to see it online. Like, it's really easy. In fact, most of you listening, you're probably with a company, if you have one and you came through us, you're with a company where you can see this online. You just go to the pay button. And if you have a little box that says LPUA and you check it, it'll show you how much you can fund. If you don't have that option, just call the company and say, how much more paid up additions can I fund into my premium this year, like above and beyond the illustration? There may be room where, say, your illustration was $20,000 a year total. Well, maybe you can put another $2,000 in PUA because they ran a MEC test and determined, hey, you can put more premium in here without the policy becoming a modified endowment contract. So just a little
pro tip. And the MEC test is continuous.
Yeah.
It's not done every 7 years. It's a continuous thing. There's a initial seven pay, and then it's going to happen all the time. So just don't think you're out of the woods yet.
Yeah. And I mean, because what you need is, it would be great if there is additional room, because most people are going to grow. Their finances are going to grow. They're going to need more room in a policy as time goes on, not less room. So that's why we're so against like a 10 pay or a 20 pay. Why would you cut that off and now you have nowhere to put capital because you made 10 payments and now they won't accept any more premium?
Yeah,
you're probably making more than you did 10 years ago. So why would you want to do that? Doesn't make sense.
10 years, the policies look, they're on, I would say they're cooking with gas. At year 20, they're on fire. Yeah. And I'm looking at one I just did on myself, and every dollar in premium is making a ton of cash. It's it's more than double.
Wow, nice.
Like the dividend is, you know, way larger than the premium at year 20, and the cash value increase year to year is more than double the premium.
Yeah. So everybody thinks, because we've been trained to think, you know, and it's a way to protect yourself. They think, what if? What if 3 years from now I lose my job and I'm not making any money? You know, they play all these what if scenarios, but let's talk statistics. Statistically, you're going to make more money next year than you did this year. In fact,
correct,
according to Forbes, statistically, your income is very likely to rise if you're in your 30s or early 40s. The prime earning years for people in the U.S., the highest income earners in the U.S. are between 45 years old and 54 years old. So consider that 10-year period your prime earning years. Call it 45 to 55. If you're younger than 45, you should absolutely have some more room to grow into with your policy, and you can do that through convertible term insurance.
Yep. And if you're a client that's what you're seeing. You know, we always do try to get you as close to your human life value as possible within reason without making you premium poor. And then we build that convertibility space into your life 20 or 30 year, depending on your age. If you're really old, it's maybe a 10 year, because you can't convert past age 65. So
yeah,
Yeah, that's how you should be thinking. You're just hitting your stride. And most of our clients are probably in that range, probably 40s to mid 50s.
Right.
So you're not too late. If that's you, you're definitely not too late.
I mean, even if you're in, you're 50 years old, statistically, you've still got probably 4 to 5 years of earning more money before you may see that plateau or start decreasing. And I'm assuming it starts decreasing because people get closer to retirement and maybe they back off the throttles a little bit, if you will.
Back off the throttles.
You know, yep, you're 55, it's time to slow down a little bit and then, you know, ease into retirement or those passive income years, not do a cold turkey. You're going full throttle until you stop.
Right.
So that's my assumption. I have no idea why. But you're probably because you're more productive. 45 to 55 is probably your most productive years because you have so much knowledge. You're an expert in what you do because you've been doing this for a certain number of years. You know, you're at the, you know, like the expert level.
Yeah, you're at the graduate level of whatever the heck you were doing.
Right.
But I understand, you know, some people want to slow down, right? They don't want to just grind, you know, some people they've grinded for 40 years and it's just like, you know, I want to go, they have grandkids at this point. They're starting to have grandchildren in their mid 50s, late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
And they want to go, they have the ability to just hop on a plane and fly to Houston and go visit the baby.
Right.
Which that makes sense. That's what you should do.
Yeah. But you should absolutely be able to build, you know, build room in your plan to grow into it. Because the worst thing that could happen is, hey, you've maxed yourself out at age 40 with what you can do, but you didn't build any extra room, like through a convertible term policy. And then by 45, you're making a lot more money, but you go back through underwriting and all of a sudden you're uninsurable because something popped up, whether it's genetics or it's the crappy food you're eating or it's stress, it's caused an issue. Now you can't get life insurance.
It's all the gluten.
It's the seed oils.
It's the seed oils.
Yeah. I tell you, seed oils are in everything, man. I got this bag of almonds.
Oh, and, yeah.
I didn't check the back until I opened it up and started eating them.
Canola oil.
I'm like, are you serious? There's almonds, vegetable oil, canola.
Okay. Yep.
And sunflower oil.
And canola is basically Canadian vegetable oil. I think it's made from rape seeds.
Okay.
Like yellow, pretty, pretty yellow flower. They make them and they have them in Poland too. Beautiful. But the way it's processed is very, it's just not good. It's not good.
Right. So anyway, now everything I look for, I figure if I can eliminate as much sugar and seed oils from my diet, that'll probably, you know, cure 80% of anything I might, you know, come down with in the future.
Yeah. You might tack on a few years.
I might, you know, and it's not always about how many years in your life, but how much life in your years, right? So
there you go.
I want both.
Yeah, you don't want to have this like slow decline where you just kind of like, you know, just want to be like,
I always tell
CrossFit
Hannah,
and then drop dead at age 80 doing a wad.
Yeah, I always tell Hannah, I'm going out with a bang. Like I want to go out in a hail of gunfire.
There you go.
Like, I don't want that slow, decrepit, sinking into death. I want to like go out like saving somebody's life, and you know, be hailed as a. I want to go out like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino.
There you go.
That's a good
hail of bullets.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I essentially saved other people's lives.
Yeah.
So I say that now. You know, when the time comes, I'm probably not going to want to, you know, a hail of bullets.
You know,
raining on me.
But I think, you know, you want a high quality of life and having paid adequate premium for your working years and your productive years, that's going to enhance the quality of life that you're ultimately going to have. Forget your health. That's one thing. But this is going to enhance everything else you're going to be able to do.
Yeah, because it's going to bring a peace of mind. Much like people who are retired, they want to have that mortgage paid off. They want to own their house completely. That peace of mind aspect is going to be huge because the biggest fear is of retirees is them outliving their money.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. It's a big concern.
So eliminate that. Let's get rid of that. So start a plan now so that isn't your fear when you get to that age and you can actually enjoy those years with much less stress. You know, it's never going to be stress-free, but at least much less stress than otherwise you may have.
Yep. Get enough money to solve a problem.
You don't have a
problem. Don't have a problem.
There you go. All right. Well, you heard it here first. Woody Sayings by Paul Fougere.
I think it was Dan Sullivan who said that.
Yeah, I know. We quote other people and pawn it off as our own. But there is one quote we came up with that is 100% our own. We didn't steal it from anybody.
That's right.
People might be stealing it from us.
Together.
We did. And well, why don't we go ahead and sign off with that? It's been a good episode. Hope you guys have a good week. And we'll see you back here next week after our hunting trip. Until then, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.